This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Welcome to the February 17, 2012 podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. I'm Natalie Pynchon. The article topics in this podcast are oncology and anatomy. Risk for leptomeningeal seeding after resection for brain metastases. Implication of tumor location with mode of resection. A clinical article by Jun Hong An and colleagues. Surgery for brain metastasis prolongs patient survival and improves the quality of life in those suffering from the mass effect. Surgery followed by whole brain radiation therapy is considered a standard therapy for single cerebral metastasis. However, several publications have suggested that in patients with brain metastasis who underwent resection, the risk for the development of leptomeningeal seeding may increase compared with non-surgical treatment. The incidence of leptomeningeal seeding can be affected by factors such as location of the tumor, treatment modality, and the type of primary cancer. The authors performed a retrospective analysis in 242 patients who had undergone resection for their brain metastases and observed the incidence of leptomeningeal seeding. This study introduced a new concept of proximity to the cerebrospinal fluid pathway to a location of metastatic brain tumor, indicating a risk for development of leptomeningeal seeding after resection. The authors also identified the use of the Cavitron ultrasonic surgical aspirator as a risk factor for leptomeningeal seeding, in addition to the previously known risks associated with piecemeal resection. Relative risk for developing leptomeningeal seeding based on the proximity to the cerebrospinal fluid pathway could be a practical guideline to avoid unwanted leptomeningeal seeding. The occipital lobe, convexity sulci and gyri. A laboratory investigation by Rafael Vicente Alves and co-authors. The occipital lobe convexity anatomy is so intricate and variable that its precise description is not found in the classic anatomy textbooks. In addition, different authors have used different nomenclatures for the occipital sulci and gyri. The aim of this study was to describe the anatomy of the occipital lobe convexity and to clarify its nomenclature. The sulcal and gyral configurations of the occipital lobe convexity of 20 cerebral hemispheres were examined for identification of their most characteristic and consistent patterns. A pattern of two occipital gyri was identified in 70% of the specimens. In this two gyrus pattern, the occipital lobe convexity was divided into two main parts, the superior and inferior occipital gyri, by the lateral occipital sulcus. In the other 30% of the specimens, the occipital lobe convexity was divided into three gyri, the superior, middle, and inferior occipital gyri. The knowledge of common patterns of sulci and gyri of the occipital lobe may help neurosurgeons to understand better the information provided by preoperative 3D imaging and identify more properly the location of possible lesions that can affect this lobe. Use and utility of preoperative hemostatic screening and patient history in adult neurosurgical patients. A clinical article by Andrea Sei-Chen and co-workers. The authors quantified the use of preoperative hemostasis screening in U.S. neurosurgery patients. They evaluated the ability of abnormal test results, as compared with history-based risk factors, to predict hemostasis-related and general outcomes. They utilized the American College of Surgeons National Surgical Quality Improvement Program database to identify a sample of 11,804 adult neurosurgery patients. They found that most patients had undergone all three hemostatic tests, but few had any of the outcomes of interest, that is, intraoperative or postoperative RBC transfusion, a return to the operating room within 30 days of surgery, or 30-day mortality. The hemostatic screening tests were significantly associated with intraoperative RBC transfusion, a return to the operating room, and mortality. An abnormal international normalized ratio was associated with postoperative RBC transfusion. The authors note, however, that all tests had low sensitivity and that platelet count had low specificity. The association between patient history and each outcome was approximately the same across the tests, with higher sensitivity but lower specificity. Combining abnormal tests with history accounted for 50% of mortality and 33% of each of the other outcomes. Seeing that history was as predictive as laboratory testing for all outcomes, with higher sensitivity, routine laboratory screening appears to have limited utility. The authors recommend limiting testing to neurosurgical patients with a positive history, which would save over $81,942,000 annually. Thank you for listening. JNSPG podcast content is now contained in the newly launched American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter.